Now, on this InvestTalk podcast, Justin Klein listens to your questions.
I was calling regarding the stock Granite Construction, ticker GVA. I bought it around $16 and I have about 50 shares of it. And it's gone up to around almost 40 now. Not sure if I should just take my gains and reinvest it.
And provides unbiased answers.
Nice, solid gain, over 100% there. And the question is, when do you take profits? Should you take profits soon?
InvestTalk, over 32 million downloads and counting.
I'd like to know your thoughts on Alibaba and if it's a good time to get in now or continue to wait for a pullback.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Friday, June 11th, 2021 edition of InvestTalk. Yes, it's Friday, and I am hosting today. In place of Steve, he usually does Fridays, and he's enjoying a bit of vacation. I'll be on vacation next week. But either way, whoever is on air for the day, we are here with the same mission, and that is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom one step at a time by making good decision after good decision. And we operate with our mission statement, which is independent thinking and shared success. So we want to bring you along with our success. We want to not be just parroting the same narrative in the marketplace or in the financial media that everyone else is. Doesn't mean that they aren't right sometimes, but oftentimes they're talking their book and there's incentives to why certain guests are on, why certain topics are being covered. Because remember, CNBC, Bloomberg, these big media outlets, what they care about is eyeballs so that they can sell ads. And I've talked about this with friends. I'm big into basketball. NBA is my favorite league. I played basketball my whole life. So I have a lot of friends that are into it. And talk about Stephen A. Smith. And he says some crazy things. And I can't believe he said this. There was a text earlier today. And just like you're buying into it. You're buying into the media, and they know that Stephen A., for example, says crazy outlandish things, and that gets eyeballs, that evokes emotion, and gets people to pay attention, and they sell ads accordingly. And the same thing with the financial media. They don't care whether you make money. They don't. They just care whether you tune in, whether you subscribe, whether you click on that link, so that they can feed you up some ads. And hopefully you see on our show, that's not our end goal. Our end goal here is to help you make the best decisions with your money, whether that's saving or investing. I know we talk a lot about investing here on the show, but saving is also extremely important. So we're just trying to help you build good money habits and good investment habits. And that's why, once again, when I'm talking about anything on this show, whether it's an individual stock, a sector, an asset class, a strategy, it all is here presented without bias. And we're here to give you the facts as I see them right in front of me with all the data and 20 plus years of investment experience. Now, I'm Justin Klein. Of course, we encourage you to contact us with your finance and investment questions. And you can interact with us right now during our live program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave a question on our anytime voice bank. Either way, that number is always 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first listener question now. We're going to talk with Emilios, our good friend in San Francisco, asking about Apple.
Before I get to that, Monsieur, who's your favorite basketball team?
I've had Lakers season tickets for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yep. Cool. Right on.
So I think that answers the question.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about Apple. Just because, sure. Should we be buying some? What do you think?
Well, we've owned Apple for clients for a long period of time. It's my favorite tech name. Now, I think it has gotten a little bit ahead of itself. We haven't been aggressively buying it for new clients recently, but I still love the company. I still think the valuation of all the bigger tech names is on the cheaper side. And the question is, where do you want to buy? Now, it has been consolidating here since last summer. It's kind of gone nowhere since last summer. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a consolidation period. Now, the bigger question is, where are the major support levels? And there are various ones. It's hit one and broken it earlier this year. And it hasn't really completed what I look for, which is that full retrace, which would be the 382 retrace, about 110. So that's the area that I'm targeting to really get more aggressive in picking up Apple, is that 110 area. Now, it may not get there, and you have to weigh those kind of pros and cons. We've lowered our allocation for clients to, depending on the strategy, to our lower limit. And if it gets to 110, we'll probably bump that up a bit. So that's the way that we're looking at it. It's still a great company. I think it's one of the best, or if not the best, franchise in the tech space. And we still like the company. I think everyone should have it. But 110 is my target to be aggressive. Thanks, Emilios. Now, my focus point today is centered on this story. We've had a strong inflation signal, and that came out, yesterday? CPI jumped 5%. I know I mentioned it on yesterday's show, but I want to dig into it a little bit deeper and what was driving the CPI going up to 5%. And that's important to look at CPI in the short term, but also let's expand that out. What factors would make inflation consistently high, meaning 3, 4, 5% or higher into the future, and make it not transitory? And what things would make it transitory? And the Fed is kind of saying this is transitory. Well, who's right? Well, I think a lot depends on what happens in the future when it comes to policy, and we're going to go over that. And then also what I want to get to is another story about global inflation, specifically China and the costs of goods coming out of China. And there's a few factors that are driving prices higher there as well, which clearly is feeding into the CPI a bit here. But as you know, global economies, global supply chains are complex, and they have various drivers, and we're going to dig into that as well. So that's what's on my mind, and my primary objective today is to fit in as many caller questions as possible. So I invite your live calls right now on 888-99-CHART, and we're going to also blend in some pre-recorded voice bank questions as well. So that's how the show's going to go, and we're encouraging you to pick up the phone, like I said. Now let's check in on the market. The 10-year was up a bit, just a tad, and you had the S&P up 8 points, very, very modest up day on the markets, really kind of flat. Look at the NASDAQ, that was up 49 points, a third of a percent, so still kind of grinding higher. We're not in the summer yet. The summer months, you typically get more volatility, and we're not quite there yet. This is going to be, I think, a very boring month. I really do. I don't see a lot of interesting news to come out, and the Fed is not speaking enough to start to jawbone the market. Now, I could be wrong. There's always potential for Jerome Powell to go out there and say something that upsets the market, or in this case, Janet Yellen, who is now the Treasury Secretary as well. She could say something as well. So there's a lot of factors that could create more volatility in the short term, but I'm not expecting until after the 4th of July. Now we're heading into a quick 1 minute break, but Alex from Virginia, hang on. You will be next. This is Invest Talk. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART.
Look at the calendar. Summer is days away. Inflation is up. Personal income is down. Now, maybe more than ever, you've got to optimize your portfolio investments. To do that, you'll need the right information and a planning strategy adjusted for your situation. So, you'll have questions for Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. And the InvestTalk phone lines are open now. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk with Alex in Virginia, looking at FIVE, which is Five Below. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
Yeah, hey, Justin. I'm looking to buy it. I don't know if there are many Five Below locations in California, but I am looking to buy this. It's about a $10 million market cap, so has run up a lot since COVID and stuff. So, yeah, I just wanted to see technically how it's looking, and long-term-wise, could you see it possibly replace the dollar stores in the future? I just wanted to see your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so it sounds like most of the products there are less than $5 instead of less than a dollar, less than $5. It expands the potential offerings that they could have, clearly, correct?
Yeah, you know, they are trying some pilot stores where it's, I think it's called Five Beyond. Mm-hmm. So it's within that vicinity, and I think it's up to like $10 or so. But yeah, usually, yeah, the concept is under $5. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Well, this is a company who's growing pretty fast, especially last quarter, revenue up 200%. But even before COVID, they were growing, but not to that clip. Do you know what's been driving that big quarter?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because that's kind of an anomaly. But if you look at its trend, it has been going up when it comes to revenue growth, really since 2012, when that was low single digits. Before the pandemic, it was starting to hit kind of the low double digits. So hold on. I clicked on the wrong one. There we go. That was something else. All right, so pre-pandemic, sorry, it was growing about 20% revenue growth. And that was fairly consistent for the previous 3-4 years or so, and now it had a big jump up 200%. Now, once again, that could be just base effects, and yeah, that probably was it. Yeah, because we were down 45% in revenue in April of 2020, so that was a lot base effects. So trend growth is at about 20%, and it's trading at pretty expensive valuation right now. Expected $5.58 next year on an almost $200 stock. It's still about 40 times earnings. That's a bit expensive for my book. And if you look at free cash flow, $261 million trailing 12 months on a $10 billion valuation, that's about a 2% yield. It's not growing fast enough. And so that's my main thing here is it's just not cheap enough valuation. I think you're a little late to the game. And technically, it's starting to weaken. It's now below the 50 and the 100-day moving average. It broke that in May and really has been consolidating and can't get back above it. So this is a name I actually would probably keep on my watch list, but it's a bit expensive for me right now. Back around 110 to 120, that's an area that would be interesting for me. Thanks for the call. Now, Fridays are a busy day for the podcast, so let me start my focus point and see if I can finish it before the next break. It is centered on CPI and the fact that it jumped 5% year over year in the month of May. And that was the fastest pace in nearly 13 years, basically since 2008. Now, economists were expecting a 4.7% jump, so that was higher than expected. And it was driven by a few things. One is car prices, and this has a lot to do with chip shortage, the cost of raw materials that go into cars, and just supply chain disruptions when it comes to COVID. And you know, cars have thousands and thousands of little parts. And if you can't get one of those parts, you can't complete the car. And so it creates a bottleneck there to make sure that they get every part necessary for a particular model. And remember, a lot of these OEM manufacturers, they're buying their parts from OEM suppliers, a lot of different ones, a lot of small ones all around the country, all around the world. And I know the shortage issue secondhand through some friends that work in the car dealership industry. And they're telling me the same thing, that they can't find supply. It's very, very difficult. And so a lot of the move up here is driven by the the supply chain issues. Now, what will keep inflation high for a long period of time, and what will make it come back down? What will make it come back down is if governments don't continue with stimulus package after stimulus package. But we all know, and we see, when there is economic disruption, the politicians come in and they will spend. And I think that is the trend here. And as long as they keep that going, inflation is likely to remain elevated for some time. Now we're heading into a break, and our InvestTalk question and answer sessions will continue. So stay with us. Please give me a call now with your finance or investment questions at 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced, or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz. The InvestTalk phone lines are open and waiting for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
Let's head up to San Francisco and talk with Jose, looking at Alibaba.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'd like to know your thoughts on Alibaba and if it's a good time to get in now or continue to wait for a pullback.
Well, it's technically not in a good place. This is a name we've been short in the past, and you know we've covered it around these levels, but it's more of I just don't like it. I don't like the Chinese names, especially with what's happening around this lab leak theory. If you listen to the show for any length of time, and you'll know back during the first shutdown that I was saying that this was the most likely theory, and now it's becoming more and more obvious that this is what happened with the pandemic, that it leaked from a Chinese lab. How that's going to play out when it comes to geopolitical issues, when it comes to cracking down on Chinese listed companies that are maybe not living up to the accounting standards of domestic companies. I think there's more and more potential for regulation on that side as well, and maybe this is the impetus for that. So Alibaba, I think, is a better short than a long. I definitely would not be owning it. It, both from that perspective as well as technically, it looks terrible. So I would say no. Thanks for the call, Jose. Let's go to Don in Pleasanton, looking at CMRE, which is Costamare. Okay, this is an interesting one. Can you tell me more about it?
It is a shipping company. I bought it a little while ago. It's doing well for me. I just looked in Morningstar and saw that it's payout ratio is, well, according to them, is like 200%. Mm-hmm. So something's not right here, because I look at it and the numbers I thought were decent. Could you take a look at this stock, see if the dividend is a solid dividend?
Sure. Happy to do that. So you're
okay,
looking
at... Actually, yeah, this is, as you're looking, just to let you know, I am a customer of yours. I do get the premium newsletter. I'm retired recently, so I started really playing with my portfolio. I noticed back in October that I can contribute like at least three stocks that I purchased during that time to returns of, you know, 60-70%. Not all of your stuff is wonderful, but I definitely can say that newsletter is really something that is worthwhile and worth studying and looking at. So anyway, as you were saying before, you were so rudely interrupted.
Well, I appreciate those kind words about our newsletter. And you're looking at Costamare, and this is a shipping company, and clearly they're doing very, very well as more and more goods are being shipped all around the world because of the pandemic. But as everything opens up, more and more people are going to have the opportunity now to spend less on things and more on experiences, going to concerts, sporting events, traveling, etc. And they're going to have less money for goods. And that's why I think that is you have to be very careful after this long run. Remember, this is coming from $3 and change all the way up down to $12 a share. And you've been riding it, and technicals are fine. There's nothing wrong with technicals. In fact, it closed at the highest level since 2016 today, actually 2015. So that yield, 3.3%, is nice, but Morningstar is correct. Their earnings aren't covering the payout of their dividend. In fact, they only made 10 cents a share trailing 12 months, and they're paying out 40 cents. And that's really the main issue here. And so I would agree that it's a bit worrisome. The dividend probably isn't sustainable. And I would be looking to find an exit. I wouldn't exit now because the technicals are just fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. What I would use, this is what I would use, 100-day moving average. Right now, that's around $10 a share. That's going to continue to rise as it stays above that. It's at $12 right now. So I would be any close 2 days in a row below that 100-day moving average, and you want to track that, that's when I would be out of this name. And I do think that will turn over the next 3, 6, 9 months because, once again, the reopening will bring strength to other sectors that this is not addressing, which is shipping goods around the world. So that's how I would play it. Thanks for the call.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
No problem, Don. Now, on Friday, Steve generally makes time to fit in a quick rundown of key benchmark numbers. Let's take a look. The two-year Treasury yield was at 0.153%. Last week, it was at 0.149. So the market pricing in a little better chance that in the future, the Fed might raise interest rates. So that's a part of that. The 10-year down a little bit from 1.56 down to 1.469. So the yield curve flattened a bit. That is pricing in less growth in the future. When the yield curve flattens, that's what the bond market is generally telling you. Gold prices, those were down slightly on the week to 1877, still kind of in this consolidation period over the past 9 months or so. Actually, now I'm approaching a year, but still very constructive. I'm expecting stronger gold prices in the back half of the year as the economy slows, but inflation stays relatively high. Silver at 28 an ounce, up a tad on the week. Oil also up a bit from 69 and change to almost $71 a barrel at the close today. National average for gasoline, 307, up from 304 last week. Here in California, $4.22. Pretty crazy. Wisconsin, the average price was only $2.92. Now we're heading into another break. Daniel from Mountain View, you're next, but give us a call. This is Invest Talk.
Of all the finance and investing podcasts and all the downloads in all the world, you've discovered Invest Talk.
At this time, do you think it would be better to keep it in this bond or move it to cash?
Looks like the sector is down today, so just thinking about, you know, potentially buying the dip.
And since Invest Talk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to answering your questions with their unique blend of expert insight and unbiased guidance, you've got to ask yourself one question. Why haven't you called InvestTalk?
Hey, it's James from Australia. I'm loving the podcast.
You know you listen. You know you should call. You know you want to call.
So I was wondering the best options for long-term growth.
You'll get a reliable answer and the same positive feeling that tens of thousands of InvestTalk callers have already experienced.
Thank you so much. I love the show.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. We're already moving through the second quarter, and serious investors need to bring their best game. InvestTalk is here to help. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Daniel. He's in Mountain View, California. He's looking at ARKK, which is the ARK Invest ETF, innovation ETF. You own it, looking to buy it, looking to short it. What are you thinking?
I'm looking to short it. It's been kind of a proxy for overvalued growth, at least in my view, on a daily basis. And I was thinking about, what the heck, maybe I just need to go ahead and short it. I just wondered what your thoughts were at this level.
Yeah, I would say it's starting to become a pretty good short. I definitely think closer to the 100-day moving average at 124 would be a bit better. But, you know, it's already had the bounce from 97 and change all the way to 116 and change now. And this is a great place to short if you are trying to bet on the downside of, like you said, a lot of these very overvalued speculative growth names. You look at the way that that they manage the portfolio by. There's so many just crappy story stocks with very little or no revenue, and I think it's a fantastic short. Just a matter of where you pull that trigger between here and, like I said, 124. Those are the area. That's the area that I would be firing on that short. So maybe not quite yet, but maybe this is where you start your position and then you add it to it going into that 124 level. Maybe it doesn't get there. Maybe it rolls over before. Thanks for the call, Daniel. Let's go to David in San Mateo looking at GSL, which is Global Ship Lease Incorporated. This looks like a provider of international tanker transportation services with 43 vessels, similar to the one we just had with CMRE. Do you own it or are you looking to buy it, David?
I have a small position and also a small position in Matson, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that space in general. It seems undervalued with their rates going up, but I don't understand the industry.
Yeah, well, the industry is very cyclical. You can see that with their earnings are all over the place. They made $1.04 in 2014. They ran it up to $4.24 in 2017. Then only made $1.70 in 2019, up to $2.69 last year. So it's to be $2.96 this year and $4.14 next year. So you go based on next year's earnings, that's very cheap. But this is, once again, an industry that's very, very up and down. And is that $4.14 accurate if we're going to have a reopening and more money from consumers spent on activities, concerts, experiences, traveling, etc., and less on physical goods that need to be moved around the world, which clearly they're benefiting from? And so that's the bigger question here is, how long will this tailwind of the pandemic and people moving and needing goods last? And I think we're in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning of this recent cycle, and more money, like I said, going towards those experiences. So this is the name that I probably wouldn't be adding to, even though it broke out. And I would use the same thing. The 100-day moving average right now, that's around 15. The stock's around 20 right now. And I still would like, I still like the space in the short term because the technicals are perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with a lot of these shipping names, and they're extracting very good value. Now, the transportation index as a whole, that's starting to show some weakness. It's actually down over the past month, actually closed yesterday below its 50-day or 20-day moving average. Sorry, 50-day moving average. Yes, 50. Had a bit of bounce today. But what you're seeing is some modest weakness in the space as a whole, but not necessarily the subsector of shipping. So I wouldn't be adding here, but I definitely wouldn't be selling because the technicals remain strong, and I'd try to find an out. Thanks for the call. Now, it is Friday, and I'm filling in for Steve. So as usual, I will share brief highlights of the newest KPP Premium newsletter. It will be distributed later today. I have not sent it out yet, but it's packed with helpful information and insights. And so if you want to sign up and get it later today, you can do that now. Now, in the market conditions section, we explained that the big news that most investors were waiting for was the CPI number for May, and it fell for the month from 0.8 to in April to 0.6, but the core CPI, 0.9 to 0.7, but the year-on-year was running at 5% annually. With regards to the market, it seemed to be in pause mode after following its bump up against old highs. There is more optimism than pessimism in the mindset of investors and traders. They're keeping a close watch on the Fed for any hint of money tightening. For the time being, you must stay in the market. There's no place to keep your money with any hope of achieving a gain. Now, in the portfolio management section, we point out that the majority of mutual funds have a hard time beating the S&P 500. Over the last 5 years, 65% of mutual funds failed to beat the market. To be fair, many are not intended to compete with the S&P. Some have different purposes, such as investing in other asset classes or minimizing risk. And there is a more technical explanation in the newsletter as well. So just touching on the mutual fund space as a whole. So it's packed with a lot of good information. Once again, stock ideas, a consumer watch section, give you personal finance tips. It's a great resource, especially if you're looking, if you're relatively new, you're looking to learn about the market, what to look for, portfolio management, how to manage risk and look for opportunity, and then obviously the stock ideas helps you look at different ideas of what potentially could fit in your portfolio. It's not a buy recommendation, but it's a good overview of different companies and why they might be good or bad, and maybe to keep on your watch list and find a buy point at some point. Maybe not today, but in the future. Now let's go to Jeff in Florida looking at Veritex Pharmaceuticals. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I actually just bought at the low today. They scrubbed one of their drugs that were in the pipeline, and I've been waiting for a buying opportunity, and I was going to see what you thought about that. Now it's at a 52-week low, and seemed like a good chance to get in.
All right, let me take a look at this. Now, here's my issue first by just looking at the chart. It closed the low of the day. I never like that. When a stock is down a good amount, and it was down about 11% today, and it closed right near the lows. And that is always telling me that it actually wants to go lower. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now the news, can you explain the news a little bit more? I did not see exactly what this was.
Well, from what I gathered over the day, it was a drug that was really not going to be contributing to its revenue that much. I guess over 50% of the revenue is cystic fibrosis drugs, and this wasn't one of them. And that's the overall consensus that I got.
Got it. Okay. Well, interesting. I'd have to dig into those details a bit more. But Veritex is expected to make $12.41 next year, $193 stock. So based on forward earnings, only trading at about 15, 16 times. So I like that. If you look at its longer-term profitability metrics, it tends to be fairly consistently profitable, and it's been growing its free cash flow from negative in 2015 to $3 billion trailing 12 months on a $50 billion market cap company. That's pretty solid. Revenue growth has decelerated from the 60% level pre-pandemic, recently only in the mid-teens. So that's a bit of a worry there. Now, longer term, technically, if I go look at a chart, it is starting to get down into some support. But let me give you a better level. Let me give you a good level here. 160, 165 in that area, that's where I'd be picking it up. What's at 193 now? And once again, the technicals look fairly poor. That is an area, 160, 165, that I would get interested in this name and start to see, is it starting to react from a technical perspective a lot better? Until I get some positive movement in the chart, I would be staying away from it. But it's a good company to have in your watch list. Strong balance sheet, solid growth, good cash flow, good profitability. I mean, if you look at their return on equity, it's in the 35% range. It's hard to find businesses like that that have good, solid, consistent profitability. So I like that it's on your watch list, but I would be patient on this name and look to pick it up around that 160 level. Now let's pivot to our InvestTalk Voice Bank for the next question. Here comes a listener, Tim from Wisconsin. We'll play his message, and then I will have an answer.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Tim from Wisconsin calling. I really appreciate you guys' show and all the insight that you give us each and every day. The reason for my call today is I was wondering if you could touch on the 10-year Treasury yield. It seems that as the yield goes down and up, as you've talked about, it directly affects stock prices, especially in the NASDAQ and the Qs. So I'm just wondering, what moves the 10-year index? If you could touch on that in the next, or whenever you get to it, that would be excellent. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Well, what moves the 10-year Treasury rate, I think is your question. And there are a lot of factors. Number one is expectations in the market for Fed policy. If the market is pricing in a tighter Fed policy in the future, rates are likely to rise to reflect the odds that in the future, the cost of capital is going to be higher. That's number one. Number two is that is linked to the expectation of where the economy is going in the future. So if the economy is strong, like right now, the market starts to price in that the Fed will tighten because of a stronger economy. So it kind of feeds on itself. Then there's the supply dynamics, the fact that we have such a large deficit. That certainly is going to bring more supply on. And foreign buyers have not been picking up the tab. Who has been picking up the tab for the federal government is the Federal Reserve by printing money, doing QE to the tune of $80 billion a month in treasuries, $40 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities. That might shift, and what the market expectations will be for that shift. And I actually think that's what it is right now, is markets expecting that shift to more treasuries, less mortgage-backed securities, bringing rates and the expectation for rates down. And that's why you saw the 10-year go from 170 to about 148 the close today. So a lot of factors that go into it, the dollar and the effects there. The dollar goes down in price. That makes it cheaper for foreign capital to come in and buy treasuries, for example. So there's a lot that goes into where treasury rates are at any given time and what moves they make on a daily and weekly basis. But I hope it gave you a basic overview. But once again, it is very complex. It's pretty much the biggest market in the world. Remember, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-something trillion dollars in treasuries that are out there in the marketplace. All right. Thanks for the call. Great question. Now it's Friday, and I'm working today for Steve, and I don't mind it because I enjoy doing the show. In fact, I love it, and I actually get a good feeling from being able to help you guys. With that said, I think it's worth taking a minute to make you aware of what we do at KPP Financial and the benefits that our clients get when working with us. Not only do they get unbiased guidance both on and off air, but hey, they get to participate in what we are doing for ourselves, for our own portfolios, for our own investments. And we do that through parallel investing. When we go buy something for our clients, we're buying at the same price for ourselves as well. And on the sell side, sell something, same price at the same time. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free portfolio review assessment via telephone or go-to meetings. Just send us a message through investtalk.com or call our KPP Financial Office in Irvine, California at 800-557-5461. Jump on a call, talk for a few minutes, see what your goals are, what your concerns are, what your needs are, and see how we can help. Maybe that's just going and buying CDs at your bank. Maybe it's going and putting your money into a high-yield savings account. Maybe it's going to invest in real estate. Maybe it's having us help you with an IRA, a trust account, and an individual brokerage account. Whatever it is, how can we help and give you some perspective that can help you make a good decision? So we want to help you in any way. Now let's touch quickly on China and the prices, not only here in the U.S. going up 5% year over year, but in China, prices are rising as well. On June 9th, China reported that factory gate prices, the prices from coming out of the factory, rose at an annual rate of 9% in May, the highest in more than a decade. So the reason is shipping costs are going up. We've had a few calls, and those stocks are doing very, very well, and so they're extracting a lot of profits, but also a stronger yuan. So the cost in dollars is more because you need more dollars to pay for each yuan. And it's pushing up the prices of made-in-China goods. America's imports from China already cost 2.1% more in April than they did a year ago. That's the fastest since 2012. Now, in order to meet green targets, China's government has reined in coal production, steel production, and that means the input costs are going up. Cost of energy, because coal is a cheap energy. You start shifting that to natural gas or other types of fuel, becomes more expensive. Officials have also cracked down on excessive speculation in the commodities market. And so they're looking at the run-up in the price of those commodities as well, and they don't want that because a lot of those commodities go into the goods they make for the world. So global demand for goods are soaring. We've seen that. Chinese exports are up about 20% higher than pre-pandemic trends. and factories are struggling to keep up with the demand. And they've had trouble with supply chains. Copper mining shutdowns in Chile and Peru, for example, pushing up the price of those input goods. And so when you see the cost of everything in the country going up, services as well as products, a lot of that's coming out of China, and that's what's driving it. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein, and we have one goal here on Invest Talk, is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. So we're going into our final break, so give us a call now at 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Nick in Napa. I was calling regarding the stock Granite Construction, ticker GVA. I bought it around $16, and I have about 50 shares of it. And it's gone up to around almost 40 now. Not sure if I should just take my gains and reinvest it into some other companies, or if I should just hold on a little bit longer. So just regarding your guys' thoughts, I'll look forward to it on the podcast. Thanks so much.
All right, this is Granite Construction, Inc. Pretty small company, $1.8 billion market cap, yields about 1.3%, and now trading at $39 a share, almost 40. And he bought it at 16, so nice, solid gain, over 100% there. And the question is, when do you take profits? Should you take profits soon? Now, Granite Construction, what they do is they provide heavy civil construction of roads, highways, residential and commercial development, as well as some development of energy, infrastructure, etc. So clearly this would be a big benefit if there was some big infrastructure package. Now, the infrastructure package looks like it continues to be talked down to a smaller and smaller dollar amount, although I think that has a lot to do with, A, Biden wanted to be bipartisan, and B, hey, they're looking at the economy and they're saying, why would we want to blow this infrastructure package right now when inflation's running hot, unemployment's coming down, we're having the reopening, everything is kind of having, the economy has a nice tailwind to it with all the stimulus packages over the past year and a half. And I think that's a big reason why there hasn't really been anything done. We're coming out of a crisis, not into a crisis. And governments, politicians, they rather wait until it's necessary. And that's why I think there hasn't been a lot done. And you're starting to see this company stall. It really has gone nowhere since March. And really, as there's more and more evidence that the infrastructure package is going to be pushed off, I think it's going to be next year. I think the Democrats are going to want to push it through when it has the most economic impact for them in the midterms. And so I think that's going to be a little while. Now, will it be $4 trillion like they want? Probably not. Will it be a trillion? We'll see. Right now, I think the package is expected to be less than a trillion. So you're seeing that expectation continue to come down. So the valuation-wise on Granite Construction is pretty steep compared to its history. And historically, it's not that profitable of a company. Return equity in the mid to high single digits. It's pretty low. And so that's why I would be thinking about taking profits up here. I would have an out of the 100-day moving average of $37 and change right now. Now, we can fit in one more caller question, I think. Yes, we can. And this one came in earlier from Minnesota.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Dave from Minnesota calling. Want to get your take on the commodity space and how much of my portfolio is too much to have in this. I currently have a bunch of energy stocks, gold, silver miners, and copper with Rio Tinto and Freeport. And I'm just wondering if I'm overdoing it. I'm currently at about 50% of my portfolios in commodities, and I'm wondering if that's too much. Listen to your response from the podcast. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, I think that is a bit high, 50, but I think of it more as the subsectors, and they all have their own supply-demand dynamics. Clearly, gold and silver has underperformed recently as more of the cyclical names have outperformed. I expect that to flip here in the back half of the year. So I would think about that too as what as our underlying economic environment. And so those more cyclical commodities maybe be reducing your position of looking to reduce. I think especially on the energy side, we're closer to the end of this cycle as opposed to the beginning. So looking for areas to lower your overall exposure. So I do think 50 is a bit high, but more about individual subsectors. You want to keep it about 20% or less. And so that's the way I look at it. But you should be looking to diversify a bit into other areas that do well when the economic growth is slowing. And that's what we expect in the back half of the year. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which they can find over at iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And as always, investtalk.com. And be sure to rate and review. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.